Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Thank you for listening in. I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hi, Paul.
Well, hello, Susan, and we'll get started today with our monthly Story County report of upcoming events from Leanne Harder. But I know we have other announcements after hers, so maybe we should give our listeners a preview just to keep the listeners from tuning us out when Leanne's done.
That's a good idea. With everything from updates on local meetings we've covered recently to theater and the lunar eclipse, this week's Sky's the Limit. And I know you have some pretty special news as well, Leanne.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm going to start by saying Happy New Year.
And I'm going to apologize right now because my voice is giving in and out. Maybe not the best day to be on the radio, but we'll trudge through and make it through the next few minutes. I'm going to start with news from Story County Veterans Affair. They are coming to a town near you. The new program started in late fall of 2018 called Hometown Outreach. Is kicking off January 2019 with more opportunities. They will be on Wednesday, January 30th, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Colo Community Center, which is located at 309 Main Street in Colo. That same day, so again, Wednesday, January 30th, Veterans Affairs will be down in Collins at 219 Main Street from 1 to 4 p.m. It's an opportunity for our veterans out there and surviving spouses to get to a location near you, meet with Veterans Affairs staff. If you want additional information, you can call 956-2626 or 956-2625 for Brett or Aaron. And they do ask if you plan on attending one of those two sessions, please do remember to bring a copy of the DD-214 that you have. And again, they'll have more announcements, more opportunities. This is a new program that they intend. Their office is always open, though, and they're here in Ames at the Human Services Center. Also, there are two vacancies on the Commission of Veterans Affairs. Story County is currently accepting applications from veterans interested in serving on the County Commission of Veterans Affairs. One vacancy is to fill an unexpired term. That does end June 30th, 2020. And another one is for a full three-year term that ends in June 30th, 2021. Just a little bit about the Veterans Affairs Commission. It's a five-member commission that is appointed by the Story County Board of Supervisors. They are members of the Iowa Association of County Commission Veterans Service Officers. They provide assistance with emergency needs to Story County veterans and or their family members who are discharged under honorable conditions. Story County's Veterans Assistance Programs are funded by Story County, along with an annual appropriation of $10,000 per year from our state legislators. They do meet monthly. In fact, they have a meeting today, and those meetings are open to the public. Applications are due by 5 p.m. on Thursday, April 4th, 2019. Switching gears to the Story County Animal Shelter, the remodeling of the animal shelter along Lincoln Highway, just west of Nevada, is moving right along. It's pretty exciting what's happening out there. But everything should be back in place, we hope, by the middle of February so the animals can get settled into a new home as well as the humans that work out there. Do watch both our Story County Facebook page and our website and Story County Animal Shelter's Facebook page about when an open house will be scheduled. And but always go out and on their website. They have animals available for adoption and open your heart to a furry friend. From the Board of Supervisors, I'm going to start out with floodplain map updates. Today, in fact, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources and folks from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, are hosting a public open house. It's this evening from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the City of Ames Water Plant Main Conference Room. That's located at 1800 East 13th Street here in Ames. That will be an opportunity for FEMA and the DNR to present preliminary floodplain maps to Story County citizens. It's no formal presentation. It's kind of come and go, walk through, look at the new maps, see what may be happening with your property. It's an opportunity to view the preliminary maps and learn how flood risk may have changed representatives from both FEMA, I think, with the government shutdown. I'm not sure how their presence will be affected, but I know the DNR will be on hand, as will I, to answer questions and address concerns about the preliminary maps. As a result of these changes, some buildings within Story County may for the first time be included in a flood hazard area. Those are known as the special flood hazard area. That may result in some property owners needing to have flood insurance. And the opposite is true. Some properties that are in the floodplain right now that have flood insurance may not be in the floodplain with these revised maps. So in addition to that, Story County itself, for unincorporated residents, so those outside city limits, we're hosting three brown bag lunch and learn open houses. It's bring your own lunch, come and meet with county staff. These three dates, and I'll announce them again in February, the remaining two, February 6th, March 7th, and April 3rd. They'll be held from 11:30 to 1:30 in the public meeting room at the administration building in Nevada. It's a come and go opportunity. I'll have the revised maps and the current maps, and be glad to sit down with individual property owners as well outside of those times to meet about the new maps. Switching gears to the 2019 Citizen of the Year Award. The Citizen of the Year Award was established 4 years ago by the Board of Supervisors. It's given annually by the board to residents of Story County, quote, who perform meritorious service above and beyond what would be expected of a citizen. Their efforts demonstrate creativity, vision, leadership, and citizenship by providing service to programs and activities that positively impact the welfare of the citizens of Story County, Iowa. This extraordinary service is either through their current vocation or in the community outside their vocation or a combination of both. I do want to note this is not current county employees and county elected officials are not eligible to be nominated for the Citizen of the Year, but we are seeking nominations through February 15th. If you contact me, I can get you the information. The application is online. And that individual or individuals, they've done a couple in past years, will be noted during National County Government Month in April. There's a vacancy on the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission that is a recommending body to the Board of Supervisors or the Board of Adjustment, depending on the nature of the development review request. We're looking for one individual to fill an unexpired vacancy. The vacancy is for 2 years, and that one does expire December 31st, 2020. The commission is seven members appointed by the Board of Supervisors. All members must be residents of Story County, with the majority of members residing in unincorporated areas. Just so if you're interested, their meetings are held the first Wednesday of the month, beginning at 4 p.m. In Nevada at the public in the public meeting room at the administration building. Those applications are due by 5 p.m. on Thursday, March 7th. If you're interested in the Planning and Zoning Commission or the VA Commission, you can find the application from our homepage, which is www.storycountyiowa.gov. Then click on the Government tab, and then you'll see Boards and Commissions as a next tab you can click on. Completed applications need to be sent to Deb Shildroth at the Story County Administration Building in Nevada. There's information on our website on that as well. And I do want to note there is a special meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors scheduled for next Tuesday, January 22nd. This is to address confined animal feeding operations. Members of the public wishing to provide input on the county's use of the construction evaluation matrix, which is how we score through the committee that's been set up by the Board of Supervisors, CAFOs, or Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations, whether we want to use the master matrix in 2019, and whether the county should adopt a resolution calling for review and possible rewrite of the master matrix session or system. They're invited to attend the meeting. It'll be at 7 p.m. at Gates Hall, which is at 825 15th Street in Nevada. And for more information on that meeting, you can contact our chairperson, Loris Olson, of the Story County Board of Supervisors. Her phone number is 515-382-7203 or lolson, L-O-L-S-O-N, at storycountyiowa.gov. And then we have started fiscal year 2020 budget work in Story County. We operate on a fiscal year that runs from July 1st to June 30th annually. We're always starting to plan for the budget in November and December and really hit the ground running come the first of the year as county offices and departments meet with the Board of Supervisors through work sessions to discuss the budget requests. All the information for the proposed budget is on our website, and you can attend these work sessions in person if you'd like, or you can just wait and go to the public meeting when the board does adopt the budget. You can find more information as well as audio of the work sessions if you want to listen in on our website, and you click on the government tab and then offices and departments. Look for Board of Supervisors, and then there's another area you go to is budget information. So for any information on the projects or programs I've discussed and talked about really quickly, call me or visit the Story County's website at www.storycountyiowa.gov, or I'm at lharter, L-H-A-R-T-E-R, at storycountyiowa.gov, or area code 515-382-7247. And I made it without my voice cracking.
You did. Yeah, congratulations, Leanne. Now, every week or every month you come, it's amazing all the things that are happening at the county level, all the opportunities to serve, and all the things that you can find out just by being in touch with the county through you or other wonderful folks in Nevada.
Yes.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you. Have a great week. Rest of your week.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. In case you just tuned in, this is KHOI Community Radio, and you've just heard from Leanne Harter, Story County Outreach and Special Projects Manager, with her report of what's coming up in Story County. Before we turn our eyes upward to the moon and a rising elevator coming later in the program, we have a couple of updates from earlier local talk stories. You may recall that on December 11th, 2018, the Story County Board of Supervisors voted to approve three new confined animal feeding operations to Longview Pork, LLC, which represented three members of the Henry family, longtime residents of Nevada. That approval, by a 2-to-1 vote, took place during a very long meeting attended by approximately 100 people, many standing out in the halls. In January 2019, the makeup of the County Board of Supervisors changed when Linda Merkin was sworn in. The result was that on January 15th, the supervisors reviewed their previous vote of approval for the three CAFOs and revoked approval for one of them, the one closest to Nevada. If you want to learn the details of what happened at that meeting, you can go to the Story County website and see the videos Leanne Harter has been preparing. And, as she mentioned, there's a special meeting of the Board of Supervisors next Tuesday, January 22nd. But instead of being 10 o'clock in the morning, it's at 7 o'clock in the evening at Gates Hall in Nevada. And I have heard that there is very likely to be a proposal for a moratorium. And that's a word that's not usually said much in Iowa. We have the matrix. And a moratorium would be basically stopping future CAFOs. And that's a pretty radical position, but if you have a position on that, you might want to attend that meeting at 7 p.m. in Gates Hall next Tuesday.
Well, now, Susan, that change in the vote really means that elections do matter and your vote counts.
That's why we spent so much time talking with candidates on local talk in November, mostly October. And before we leave the topic of citizen involvement, I want to play the statement Kiara Travisette made to the Ames City Council on January 8th. Those who heard our hopeful program on January 3rd knew that the Ames High students planned to present their petition for a climate action plan to the Ames School Board and the City of Ames. Here it is.
Hello, my name is Kiara Travisette. I am a representative of CAUSE, Citizens Actualizing and Understanding Sustainable Environments. We are a club at the high school which takes local climate action. On the week of December 3rd to the 8th, we hosted a signature drive, and in just those 5 days, we collected 613 student signatures for the following petition. To the Ames City Council and the Ames Community School Board, We, the undersigned, want our elected officials to create a climate action plan for the Ames Community School District and the City of Ames. Climate change is an existential threat to our generation's future. On October 8, 2018, the IPCC released a report that states that we may only have 12 years to reduce emissions by 45%, or climate change could be irreversible. Our elected officials have a responsibility to secure our generation's future, and thus we request the development of a comprehensive climate action plan and its implementation to reduce emissions. We hope that these 613 youth voices will encourage the City of Ames to consider taking a bolder stance on climate change. In the past several months, we've spoken to several city council members, and we've really appreciated their openness and the time they've taken out of their day to speak with us. We hope to continue this relationship into the future.
Thank you, Kiara, for expressing the concerns of CAUSE and of other high school students so clearly and powerfully to the Ames City Council. Now we have a little transition music that'll set us up for the our new topic. The moon is out tonight.
There's a moon out tonight. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go strolling.
Hey, everybody. Here we are back. Local Talk here on KHOI Community Radio. We're Story City, Ames and surrounding area, 89.1 FM. And our civic engagement sections ended with the Ames High School student Kiara Travisette presenting a petition with 613 student signatures requesting the Ames City Council to draw up a climate action plan. Now, we heard that transition music. The moon is out tonight, and it leads us to our guest, Dr. Sam Wormley, who will be talking with us about the lunar eclipse that will take place next Sunday evening. Hello, Sam.
Good
morning.
Susan
tells me you just premiered a new science program on KHOI. Tell us about that first.
Yes, we call it Science Bites. There are a number of us who have been regularly in discussion about science for the last dozen years, and we want to share that with listeners of KHOI. So we're starting a half-hour program once a week, and the first one aired yesterday.
By the way, maybe you should, for our listening audience, tell how Science Bites is spelled.
Science Bites is spelled science, as you would normally spell it, and Bites is B-Y-T-E-S.
Oh, okay, Science Bites.
Well, I mean, some people might think that it's going to grab you.
Yeah. Well, no, Science Bites, sometimes that might be vernacular for science is not cool, you know, it bites. Anyway, the main thing is you've got a brand new show, and more specifically, we're talking about an event coming up next week. Oh, that's Sunday, right?
Yes, Sunday evening. The moon in its orbit will go into the shadow, pass through the shadow of the Earth, and therefore it will look like there's something taking a bite out of it, like the old Pac-Man programs. And the moon will eventually be in total totality. In other words, the light will be totally blocked from it, and the only light falling on the moon will be what refracts around the Earth's atmosphere, like sunsets and sunrises, and so it will turn blood red. This happens occasionally. Eclipses happen roughly every 6 months, but not necessarily where we are. And in the year 2019, we have one good lunar eclipse. It's Sunday night. It starts about 9:30 in the evening and will be blood red. And you may need to get out your old Moses capability to split the clouds in case they're in the way.
Yeah, I guess that's the one thing that is likely to be a problem.
The weather.
But other than that, you can look at it without any special protection.
You don't need anything. You look at the moon all the time. This is no different. It'll be just a little darker, and it'll be redder.
And you can watch it come and go, right?
And you can watch it come and go. This whole event takes place over about 3 hours. At 9:33 to be precise, you'll start to see the shadow creep across the moon. First a little nibble out of one side, and then it'll get bigger and bigger and eventually be totally covered. And when that shadow totally covers the moon, that totality lasts about an hour. And then the reverse pattern, little pieces of the moon start to show up again. And it's pretty spectacular. And anybody that's out in the evening, you can even look out your window. You don't have to even be outside. You can see this total eclipse over the period of about 3 hours, roughly to the south. And
that's coming this Sunday,
right? It's coming this Sunday night.
And it begins at 9:30, and the whole event takes you up to what time?
Well, the totality is in place by 10:41, and this is going to last a little until after midnight.
So you can just sit there and take 2 hours and watch this happen.
Yeah, you might as well have a fire in your fireplace, or you don't really want to be reading a book. You want to be looking at the moon.
It'd be a good time to get engaged, too, if you're thinking of marriage.
Certainly.
It's a special act.
Write a song, whatever.
Well, Wanda, I've always wanted to tell you this, and the moon's turning into eclipse. It's pretty romantic. Well, now they call it a blood moon, don't they?
They do.
It's got this red tinge to it.
Right.
And that, you said, is because of the light refracting around the Earth. It sort of gives it that red tinge.
If you were on the moon and you looked back at the Earth, you would see the ring of the atmosphere around the Earth, and it would look like what we see as sunset or sunrise.
And so I suppose that primitive peoples had all kinds of terrific responses to this, you know. Doesn't the word lunatic come from lunar eclipse?
Right.
You know, you talk about people who are pre-science to see some of this phenomenon. It must have been scary, and they probably thought it was an omen of something horrible happening. You know?
Well, throughout history, these eclipses have inspired awe and even fear, especially these total eclipses that turn the moon blood red. The effect that terrified people, they were terrified probably because they had no understanding of what was going on, why this was happening. So they attributed it to this god or that god or who knows what.
On Science Bites yesterday at 4:30 in the afternoon, which is a time for people to listen to Science Bites in the future, you had a story about that I thought was really interesting. I'd never heard it before.
If you remember, in 1492, some guy sailed the ocean blue. That was Columbus. And Columbus, as other sailors of the time, had navigation tools that included almanacs and navigation charts. And those almanacs had a listing of when there would be lunar eclipses. This had been known for several hundred years fairly accurately. He was in a dire straits. He'd been in the Americas for a while and beached one of his ships and was getting help from the local people. And they had been helping him for a couple of months and decided that was enough. And Columbus knew that there was going to be a lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse that would turn the moon blood red. So 3 days before that happened, he told those Indian people, I think in what's now called Jamaica, that his god was angry and he was going to turn off the moon. And sure enough, 3 days later, the little nibble started out of the moon. The local natives got terrified. They eventually begged Columbus to let them help him again and restore the moon. And about 1 hour before the eclipse was over, Columbus said his god was now happy. And the moon did start to come back. And that's a true story. That really happened. He used the scientific knowledge of the time to help him in a dire situation.
And if they'd known what was coming, they probably wouldn't have stopped helping him right then.
Right. What's really interesting about this is, why did those people not know about lunar eclipses from their history, their ancestry?
I guess the fact that he predicted it so accurately is what was scary. You know, they probably saw it happen, and they said, it reminds me of that line from the Ten Commandments when Yul Brynner is defeated by all the plagues on Egypt. Your God is more powerful than my God, you know. So the thing about the lunar eclipse is it's coming this Sunday. It spans beginning at 9:30. It takes a better part of an hour, about an hour. And it's something you can see out your window or wrap up and get your heavy clothes on and go out and stare at that. I think it's going to be kind of cold Sunday. But basically, we know it's coming, so it doesn't need to strike fear in your heart. It's not necessarily a bad omen. And now tell us a little more about your program, though, Sam. This is going to be a regular feature here on KHOI. Remind everybody what time it is.
The program will air on Tuesday afternoons at 4:30. It's a half-hour-long program, and there are probably at least half a dozen people who will act as co-hosts. The idea is to give the listeners a broad range of sciences, things that we've been studying, things that we care about. We'll include climate. We'll include all aspects of science and probably think about it in terms of addressing science for the person on the street. They don't necessarily have to have a science background to be able to understand what we're going to do. Mike Metz and I did the first program. We'll probably do the second one. We're planning to interview Irv Kloss and Fritz Franzen and all kinds of people from Iowa State University and around in Story County. We've got at least a dozen weeks of ideas ready to.
Well, I know, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun because, number one, this really exemplifies what KHOI is. Somebody like yourself who has an idea for a program and some expertise and something they'd like to see put on the air. And we do that at KHOI. You present a program idea, and if you come up with something that seems viable, you can have your own show on KHOI, and you are living proof of how that transaction happens, Sam.
It's not just talking about science. It's actually sharing our excitement about science.
Yeah, I think that's true. And speaking of excitement, I know that you have another great interest besides science, and that is music. And because of that, and because the lunar eclipse just happens to be on the same night as a one-time performance of Moon Rock the Musical, and we just happen to have several members of the cast and crew here with us in the studio with some live music potentially. I think we need to take some time for that. And a scientific question for you. I know this starts at 5 o'clock, which is a sort of an unusual time for a performance. Did you have some intent to work with an eclipse?
Yes, exactly. We want people to be able to come to the show and then we're all going to go out into the country and watch that eclipse together.
Now, we have several folks here from the cast. This is going to be 5 o'clock this Sunday at the Ames City Auditorium.
Yes.
It's a unique and original musical. I think 22 original songs. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you folks have put that together. It's going to be a one-time performance, 5 o'clock this Sunday night. So it'll be a precursor to the lunar eclipse,
exactly,
which will be happening after the show. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know much about science, you can stand on the stage and say, look outside, something we've caused is about to happen. Now, who are the folks who are here today? And tell us, well, generally about the musical, how it came to be. This is Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff. You wrote your own musical with 22 original songs, and someday you'll live in a penthouse in New York, just like Richard Rodgers. Tell us who's here today and what we're going to do.
Well, I'm Lindsay Nissen, and we have Sasha Antropov, and we are the co-writers of the musical. And then we have a couple people who are in the musical and also have contributed songs. So we have Dan DeGeest and Vanessa Ellsbury.
Well, now you're the director is right here. What's your name?
Stacy Brothers.
Well, Stacy, you are the person who puts it together and makes sure that it all happens. Are there complex sets here, or is that?
Yes, definitely complex, but also not so complex because the whole set and every scene is comprised of modular octahedron blocks, eight-sided blocks. And some of them are projection sides, and some of them are solid sides. We're standing, and some of them are open sides. And we're inside of them, and we're on top of them, and we stack them, and we make different scenes, and we make the moon, and we make a rocket. And we can do anything with octahedrons.
Well, now, what about costuming? What's everyone going to look like Sunday night? Just regular clothes, or?
Oh, definitely not. No. They're going to surprise me, so I can't really speak to the costumes just yet. We have kind of base layers that we're building on for different scenes.
Okay, so this is a very original musical, and tell us how it came about. A few folks started collaborating how long ago? How did this begin?
It didn't begin with me. I came in a little later in the process. It began with, well, I'll let you tell that part of the story.
Really, the idea came about when we were at the AM City Auditorium for a different event, and we were like, this place is so amazing. I wish we could do something that would be big enough for this space to fill
this
space.
Yeah, it is a beautiful facility and a nice venue. Yeah. Now, we're equipped to actually do some music today.
Yay.
So, yeah, do we need to have an introduction? This is part of the show,
mm-hmm.
And you've got a song from the show, take it, right? What's the song, and how does it fit into the plot? And we're going to hear it, right?
Yes.
We have all these people in our studio, so we can do music.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think that we should have Dan and Vanessa sing their duet song. So part of the plot is Vanessa is our villain.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And she is looking to destroy the moon because her father died when going to the moon. So this is a flashback scene of her father, Nigel Quill. It is called Love Astronaut.
Oh, let's make the music. That's great. This is from Moon Rock, the musical, coming this Sunday night, 5 o'clock at the Ames City Auditorium. Our musicians are getting into position, and they're going to play a song from the musical, reminding you that this is a one-time performance on Sunday, and all the stuff you see on stage is original and invented by the people who are right here gracing the studio with us, and they're going to do a number from the show, Moon Rock the Musical, this Sunday at 5 p.m., Ames City Auditorium.
can you spread your wings out to the sun? Just one last transmission before you burn. Just to let us know when you're coming home.
Wow, what a haunting melody. What a beautiful song. And it's just one of 22 original songs for the cast. And we have, let's see, one, two, three, four, five people here from the cast. And it's going to be happening this Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Ames City Auditorium, a great venue we're lucky to have here in Ames. And these folks have come together to write a great music. It's Moon Rock, the musical. And I'm just very excited to hear about this. And just give us a general plot outline. What happens in the musical line? What can people expect to see in terms of the general storyline?
Well, I play Nigel Quill, and I'm a space explorer, and I've devoted my entire life to reaching the moon. And for me, I'm on a nonstop mission with a singular vision to reach the moon. And I have attempted that mission, and I am now missing in space and presumed dead. Meanwhile, there's a collective dream, and a group of other people decide that they are also going to try to reach the moon. And that is where the musical intersects with a few other storylines, and I'll let my daughter, Ambien, talk about her role in the play, not my real daughter.
She plays your daughter in Moon Rock, the musical.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So my character, I am Ambien Lunesta, and I am the villainess in the musical. And I want to destroy the moon because it took my father away from me when I was a little girl. So I have this lifelong want for revenge, and so I meet all these people who have the dream, and I'm not super sure about them, and I want to stop them from going and take over the mission, but there's other plans.
Wow, so, sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
How many characters on stage? How many folks are involved on stage?
I'd say there's at least 20 people that, you know, make stage appearances.
Now, is there a romantic love story involved in Moon Rock?
Oh, of course.
You have to have conflict. You have
yes.
to have a love story.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a
right.
villain.
Yep.
And you have to have a little humor here and there.
Oh, yes.
Moon Rock's got it all.
Okay.
It does.
I'm just thinking of all the elements I've seen on Broadway
yeah.
In the musical, and basically I'm older. I was in 1970. I saw Hair on stage,
mm-hmm,
and
nice.
Also Coco, and mm-hmm. all these shows that were running then. And of course, a great number of those tour to the Civic Center in Des Moines and mm-hmm. Stevens Auditorium yeah. in Ames. And what I really like about the Ames City Auditorium is that it has considerable depth of stage, and there's a lot of actionable area there you can use.
Yeah.
It's a very nice facility, and so I'm sure you were inspired to put together something that really filled up that space, and you've got it done now, right?
Yeah, it's going to be great to get into that space and actually
and what
be
a
able
treat.
To work on the
this
whole
is,
space.
Oh, no. Well, let's really frame this in the true venue that it is.
Yeah.
It really is, number one, a world premiere. It's never been performed anywhere else. You're opening at the Ames City Auditorium on Sunday, 5 o'clock p.m., it's originally written by a lot of the people who are involved directly in the production.
Yep.
22 original songs.
Mm-hmm.
People perform. What kind of instrumentation do you have? You have a man back here on the keyboard.
Yes.
And he has the mysterious name of Andropov.
Yes. He's our main man. He's going to be playing the beautiful Steinway that the auditorium has. So.
Well, I thought maybe he'd be playing a Russian astronaut or cosmonaut. You can call him the cosmonaut of the cat. He's the cosmonaut. Mm-hmm. And I bet you've had a lot of fun doing this show.
Oh, yes. It's been amazing.
And now, who are the main composers of the music? Who are the collaborators who wrote the music?
So Sasha and I wrote a majority of the music. Some of it was written before we started this project, and it kind of just fit in with the theme. And then we wrote several songs together, and then Sasha wrote a few on his own, and then also Vanessa and Dan contributed, and there's a few other songs.
So this is a real marvelous show on Sunday.
Yeah.
Put on by the people who wrote it, created it, had the concept, and it all comes to fruition on stage, 5 o'clock Sunday. If you want to see something original, new, and remarkable, yeah. Show up at the City Auditorium in Ames on Sunday at 5 p.m. Now, have you protected yourself copyright-wise? What if someone else sees that show and starts touring the country and you don't get a dollar?
Well, now you're just giving people ideas.
See it and make sure it's worth copying.
Just think of Rodgers and Hammerstein. You know, they put up Oklahoma locally at the Ames City Auditorium, mm-hmm. and then they shut down, and then suddenly Oklahoma is being done on Broadway, and they're still living in an apartment in Ames.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to protect yourself and make sure you're copyrighted.
I wasn't saying that for a couple months or anything.
But I do have a question, and mm-hmm. that is, where do you buy the tickets? Because I think a lot of people may not know about Reliable
yeah.
Street.
Yeah, you can get tickets right now on the website. They're all will call at this point. We're not going to be sending out any more in the mail. So that's ReliableStreet.com. We have them in person at Alluvial Brewing Company and also at Vinyl Cafe.
And then you have them at the door, too, I think.
Yes. So at the door, you can get tickets. We're encouraging people to buy tickets early because we're kind of worried that we might get a big rush at the door. So the doors open at 4.
When I was a little girl, I wondered when my father would make it to the moon. Through his telescope, I watched his ship and pondered all the gifts I'd get when he returned. He approached the moon, I saw it, a moon rock behind him. I froze up, I watched it, his spaceship, the moon rock collision, explosion, a blinding flash of light. I was blinded in one eye, so hence the eye patch, and a monocle because my vision's bad. If only I had yelled out, "Behind you, Father Moonrock!" I could have had a chance to save my dad. I'm Ambien Lunesta, revenge is what I'm after, and that is why. I must destroy the moon.
Well, during this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend holiday, you can come and enjoy a special production for the whole family. Now, this is the plot. When the quirky Wilson family goes on vacation, they visit a nice hotel and then decide to take up residence in the elevator. They quickly turn their tiny space into a cozy home nicknamed Otis, where they play pickup sticks, have meals delivered, and entertain guests. Now, that sounds quirky. All are welcome in the Wilsons' tiny mobile room, and as they move up and down, they help everyone they meet, including a love-struck bellhop, an overscheduled old lady, and a lonely salesman. But when the Wilsons suspect that a kidnapped girl may be hidden in the hotel, they may face their biggest challenge yet. We have Scott Nielsen on the phone, and Scott, does that sound like the plot you know about?
That's exactly the plot that I know about.
Okay. I think, yeah, usually we ask him to tell it. So,
well, I wanted to make sure that this is so quirky and unusual, and we've got all kinds of unusual stuff. We've still got the cast here from Moonrock the Musical. Now tell us about this show, Scott, and how it's been produced and what's going on down there in Ankeny.
Well, the quirkiness for this show is something I've never personally done before as a director here at Ankeny, and that is it's a cast of everybody's under the age of 16, and it's a cast of 15 total. So it's been definitely a big experience that way, but it's also been a wonderful experience. Along with that, of course, when you have young people in a show, lots of tickets sell. So I want to make sure and right away point out that our Saturday and Sunday shows are already sold out. We have a few tickets left on our two Monday shows, so just wanted to make sure to get that out there right away.
So we're talking about production dates, January 19th and the 20th. That's at 2 p.m. Those are matinees. January 21st at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m., correct?
Correct.
Now, you said the cast is all teenagers?
Yes, and we actually have a couple preteens, too. I think we have a couple that are 11 and 12 as well.
Well, you know, I've worked with children's theater up in Story City, and the first thing that we have to do during rehearsal is have the kids put their cell phones into a basket. So did you have any trouble with distractions like that during rehearsal, Scott?
To be honest, we really didn't. The show moves so fast that they don't really have too much time to worry about where their cell phone's at while we're doing rehearsal. They got to get ready for their next time when they're on stage.
Now, is there music with this, or is it a straight play comedy?
Straight play comedy. I mean, there's some music involved, but no singing or anything by the cast.
Okay. So when did you begin rehearsal? How long ago did you start production rehearsal?
Oh, we actually started quite a while back because this is one of our studio shows that we're doing at Ankeny Community Theater, where we try to fit one in between our main shows. So we've been rehearsing now for a couple months, but that was just once a week there for quite a while. Now this week, of course, is the all-dreaded tech week, so we're there almost every night this week, but the kids are handling it great. So it's one of those fun things where it's been seeing it progress every night and get better and better. So even though it's been a long haul, they're doing a wonderful job.
Well, I've been in a theater to know that the marvelous camaraderie that exists in the cast as you go through all those weeks of rehearsal and all the things that you do together and share together and the problems you overcome together. And it's probably important to know that this is not really what you'd call children's theater, is it, Scott? And so this is something adults will enjoy. There's got to be a lot of comedy involved here, right?
Yeah, there is a lot involved. It's actually, and before I read the script, got to know the plot line, I didn't actually know that it's based off a children's book by the writer Douglas Evans. So some folks have told me, oh, yeah, I've heard of the book before, and I unfortunately have not heard of the book before, but it's great that way. We're hoping to use that to attract both young and old alike if they've read the book when they were younger and that type of thing.
Well, it's entitled The Elevator Family, and the production dates are January 19th and 20th at 2 in the afternoon. Those are matinees, of course. January 21st at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. And, Scott, remind us again what's sold out and what isn't.
The Saturday and Sunday shows are both sold out, and we have a few tickets left for the 10 a.m. and the 1 p.m. show on Monday.
Well, that's just fantastic. And, you know, one thing I know about Ankeny is that I don't know much about Ankeny anymore. I lived in Des Moines for 30 years. I went to Ankeny all the time. Now when I go to Ankeny, I don't know my way around because it's grown so much. So just remind people briefly how to get to the Ankeny Community Theater site. Where you go to do the show?
We are right on the south side of the John Deere plant here in Ankeny, and the address is 1932 Southwest 3rd Street in Ankeny.
Very good. Any ticket information they should know about?
The easiest way is to go to our website, AnkenyCommunityTheater.com, or to our Facebook page, and there they can find a link to Midwest Tickets, or they can also call Midwest Ticks at 515-244-2771.
Fantastic. And we're going to make sure that a lot of folks come to those shows because community theater needs to thrive. And for that to thrive, we need to have people sitting in the seats enjoying that and all the anticipation we always have when the curtain's about to go up. The Elevator Family, produced by Ankeny Community Theater, coming up January 19th and 20th at 2 p.m. and the 21st at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. in Ankeny at the Community Theater. Thank you very much, Scott Nielsen. Good luck and break a leg, okay?
Thank you. Have a good day.
You have been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been your host, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Thank you for listening. Other voices you heard were Leanne Harter, Chiara Travisette, Sam Wormley, Sasha Andropov, Lindsay Nissen, Stacy Brothers, Vanessa Ellsbury, Dan DeGeest, and Scott Nielsen. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Remember that you can also hear us online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org.
Today's show was engineered by Aladdin. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris. That's from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was The Moon Is Out Tonight by the Capris from the album The Best of the Capris. And we had selections from Moon Rock, the musical, written and arranged by Sasha Andropov and Lindsay Nissen.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. So if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Let us know what you think. You can call us at 515-292-2878. Email us at khoiradio@gmail.com, or go to the contact page of our website, khoifm.org. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio. Thank you.